Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to QT Pop Talks. This is your host, Owl Rare. And for our latest segment, I will be interviewing again with Terrell Blake Marie. Terrell, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Just preparing for an event that I'm doing in Philly before the Hallmark holiday. But yeah, I'm excited to design some cute little jars of my skincare and bend it out. How are you feeling?
Good. I have a friend who's coming through this weekend, and so preparing my house for that. It's always interesting being a spiritual practitioner and having guests and making sure that your home is a really relaxing space for other people to come to and for, you know, whatever it is that they're bringing with them, particularly if they're traveling, and the things that they might have picked up while they were traveling. So making my home a really flowing space to move out any energy of things that I've been healing for myself, and then make sure that the energy flows out of the house for anything that the guests might be bringing in. So I'm really excited. This is somebody who I haven't seen in a long time. He arrived a day early too, so you know, I'm having to create flow within myself to be flexible about the surprises and the changes. But I'm excited. Nonetheless, excited.
Yeah, it's tough when you're hosting someone and they arrive a little bit early and you're like, ah! But yeah, I'm glad that you have a good practice of, you know, clearing your space. I'd love to hear some more about, like, I guess things that we kind of attach to when we're traveling. Do you have any more information on that?
Yeah, you know, me and my mom, we have different spiritual practices, but obviously we're all of the same ancestral lineage. And so we were talking the other day about the ways that spiritual hygiene is just so important for everyone, but particularly for travelers who don't necessarily have a base and like a space where they can have a foundation of cleanliness and protection all the time. So me and my mom were discussing about how really whenever you're moving, it's possible for other energies, other entities to attach to you that were on someone else previously. And I really liked the way that she was talking about it. She's like, you know, you can come home and be feeling kind of off and feeling kind of funny, and like you like can do all these things to try to like make yourself feel better, or do all these things to like understand like why you're feeling off, why you're agitated, why you're angry, when nothing really happened to you that day. There's no reason that you can pinpoint that you are feeling super off. And so she talked about like, and then you can like kind of go back through your day and see, oh, actually, I started feeling this way when I was hanging out with this person at work, when I was hanging out with this person at this event, and talking to her about just how you can pick up energy and you can pick up vibes and you can pick up entities from other people, and then be carrying that on you. And, you know, sometimes that it happens because one person's vessel is larger than the other, because one person is like walking a path where they have more light or are doing more clearing than someone else. And so, you know, the entity, the vibe, all of that is attracted to that person and would be on that person as well. So my mom, you know, is very much a born again Christian. And so like spiritual hygiene in her practices is all about prayer, and also keeping your space really clean, keeping your house really clean. And so we continued that conversation. I was like, yes, that's like the first thing that I teach in my class, Equinox Dreaming Awake. The whole first module, so the whole first 4 weeks is all about cleanliness as a rest practice and going through the process of figuring out how to get your home clean. Because if your home is clean, then it's much easier for you to notice when something is happening that's out of the ordinary, as well as it's easier to sleep and it's easier to get rest and you feel less stressed when your home is clean. And for me, and I've also been a traveler, I was moving nomadically and I was homeless for 18 months. And so cleanliness practice looks very different for me when I was traveling around a lot. So it looked more like having plants, particular plants on the dashboard of my truck. So I travel a lot with yarrow, which is really great protective medicine, particularly for travelers. And then in my camper, I had a big thing of dry tobacco that was protecting me too. So I drove, me and my partner, so we're black and brown, we drove all the way across the country and we were never pulled over, like not a single time, through the whole country from New York to California. And we went down the East Coast and across the southern United States.
Yeah, it's hard to not get pulled over just driving down the street.
Right.
But that's really cool.
Very, very protective, yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to go back to what you were saying about, like, things that are attaching to you, for sure. Like, I've definitely, like, felt that, and particularly at, like, jobs and things like that, which I've found is usually the reason why I'll end up leaving a job, is because, like, I'll always show up feeling so good, but then after the shift or after work, I'm just, like, so angry, so negative, so, I don't know, just, like, my whole day is off, and, like, nothing bad can even needs to happen at work for that. It's just kind of, like, being in that space. So do you think that also, like, spaces hold on to these things, too?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, when you think about, so everything is alive in one way or another. and when you think about a building, like, if the building has wood floors, if the building is made from bricks, the materials that the building is made out of, can hold entities and can hold information as well. And then also, you know, there are practices of clearing a space. And for a business practitioner who is not clearing their business out regularly and they're having, you know, hundreds of people coming through their door every day with all of whatever is attached to them, their space is not necessarily clean. And then, you know, the employees who are coming through as well every day and they're staying for hours and, you know, in the ways that capitalism, like, forces people to show up to places when they're not well, you know, they could potentially be carrying more entities. And sometimes, you know, the entities are going to be bacteria. Sometimes they are spiritual entities such as demons. Sometimes people are carrying things from, like, unsafe home situations, et cetera, et cetera. So absolutely, a workplace is definitely a space where you are interacting with a lot of different energy, a lot of different entities, and all of the customers as well.
Yeah, it's tough. It's like, I need to go here for money, but my energy feels off. So have you ever been, like, in a situation where, you know, you had to kind of talk to an employer or someone about the energy of their space and, like, what's going on there, and this is kind of, like, a reason why you can't be here anymore?
Yeah, I definitely have. I would say probably a lot of my employment has been that way, and I didn't always have the language for it. The most recent job that I left a job in September. I was working at, or in December, I was working at this school, which is a very beautiful school. It's a Waldorf school, so lots of singing and love. And, like, you know, it is a space where they do allow for a lot of magic. And indigenous wisdom to be incorporated into the curriculum. However, the building was a church. And the building was a church that also held a lot of funerals. And, you know, some of the teachers, like, in the few months that I worked there, some of the teachers had been sharing that, you know, certain people's personalities were changing, and people were identifying that, you know, they're like, oh, I'm not sure, I think maybe that person has something attached to them. You know, they're really treating me in a really bad type of way. And so at some point, because the staff and the other teachers weren't really treating me as someone who is an expert in moving some of these energies and spirits, and there's also a lot of misgendering going on, and a lot of just like overall devaluing of me. So when I decided to leave and give my notice, you know, I gave them like a full like 9-page paper, you know, detailing all of the reasons why I was leaving and ultimately naming the space as a hostile work environment. Which was a lot of energy to like detail that 9 pages of stuff. But it also really felt, I think for me, it felt very, it was a relief, and also it felt like I was giving them a gift, like giving them a gift of like, you know, I am experiencing rage. Here are all of the reasons why I'm experiencing rage, and I need you to know that like my rage is sacred. The rage of Indigenous people is sacred, like because it has so much information to teach us. And also for me, it was really an outline and like, you know, documentation of all of the work that I had did there, all of the ways that I had poured my energy into this space. You know, it was detailed in this 9-page document, and it was really solidifying for me of like, you know, this is how I move in the world. You know, I'm always thinking about Indigenous ways of moving. I'm always thinking about like what is happening to the young people right now. What is going on with the young people who are committing suicide at really, really early ages? What is going on? Like, how do we need to be better as adults to shift the ways that we're treating each other, to shift the ways that we're not always talking behind each other's backs, you know, but we are having clear communication with each other. And also, you know, as people of multiple different ancestries, you know, people who are, you know, descended from colonizers, people who are descended from colonized folks, like, what are we doing to really make sure that we're telling those stories in accurate and truthful ways so that history doesn't happen again, and so that, you know, the people who have been, you know, deeply, deeply, deeply harmed by the events that have occurred and the violence that has occurred, you know, so those people can heal.
Yeah, it's crazy how much like we try to like push things off to the side as a society. Like, oh, it's just, we just label it like, oh, it's depression, oh, this is anxiety. But really, like, what's causing these feelings though? You know, there has to be something deeper, and I think sometimes it is deeper than like, you know, that chemical imbalance in the brain. You know, I think sometimes, like you're saying, it could be the energy of the space that they're in all the time. It could be the energy of, like, you know, where they have to go to work or to school. I remember when I was in grade school, I always was just, like, so angry to go to school and angry to be, you know, forced to do these things and to learn things that I wasn't really even interested in. So I appreciate you for, you know, doing the work to really kind of dive into, like, what's causing this, you know? And it's like, oh, it's like energies, and like, oh, where are these energies coming from? And like, yeah, there's something greater than ourselves that's kind of out there, and sometimes we just have to learn how to connect or how to disconnect from, you know, those things. So that's really cool. I wanted to open a conversation next about, like, some of the work that you're doing, some of the work that's coming up for you and things like that. I'm really excited to hear more about the dream work that you're doing around the world.
Yeah. You know, what you were saying about the connecting and the disconnecting, I liked that framing for beginning to speak about dream work. So I think, like, for me, like, I experienced a huge shift where I left my community that was in New York, and then I moved to Northern Arizona to really like dig into my dream work practice and do a lot of integration work from all of these different trainings and initiations that I've had over the past 4 years or so. So 2019 was a hiatus year for me where I was really, you know, getting really focused. groundwork for Cause Rain, which is a dream working business, for Cause Rain to, you know, be a business and be much more sustainable than other businesses that I have done before work that caused me a lot of burnout. So I'm super excited about Cause Rain, in terms of it being, this legacy building tool that's like this, I almost want to use the word fantastical, and not fantastical as in fictional, but to work with one's like dream medicine, it's your worldview shifts and it becomes more fantastical and it becomes lighter and there becomes more of a bridge between what you're dreaming and how you're moving through the waking realm. So for example, so I guess like a huge example for me is, I was teaching at, Trans Day of Joy in Queens, New York. And one of the students in the class, you know, so I speak to my ancestors on a daily basis. I also speak to other spirits besides my ancestors. So, spirit, you know, told me what during this class is like, you really need to go make sure that you have a one-on-one conversation with this person. And so I end up talking to this person and, you know, we've never met before this moment and we decide that we're going to try intentionally dreaming together. So trying to show up in each other's dreams. And as soon as I get home, I was living in Ithaca at the time, as soon as I get home, I have a dream about this person. And I'm like, whoa, that's wild. And over the course of a year and a half, initially it was like over the course of like 6 months, we continued dreaming together. And then we had this beautiful love affair in dream realm, only in dream realm. Like we, you know, we're not flirting. We're not talking to each other like that at all in waking realm, but we're texting each other whenever we have a dream about each other. So, you know, we go on our first date. This person, travels and goes to, their ancestral homeland and like where they grew up. And I start having dreams about what this place looks like. I've never been to Brazil. Brazil is the space. I've never been there. And I'm having these visceral, incredibly memorable, beautiful dreams about Brazil. And it's raining and I can hear the like rain hitting the window panes and it's just so lush everywhere. And so I text this person about it and it's been raining for 2 weeks in Brazil.
Wow.
And, right? So wow. So wow. Like that's fantastical. And, you know, we continue dreaming, you know, at some point we have our first night of making love, all of these things. And at some point, you know, I was like, whoa, this is a lot, you know, this is starting to spill over into waking realm and I'm not really sure like what this is. Let's like chill out. So we chill out and we like pretty much like we barely talk for about a year. And then we reconnected this past December when I taught again in Philly on the solstice. In December, and you know, we like sat down and talked things out a little bit, and decided like, okay, let's try dreaming together again. And then I go and I spend the weekend at his house, and I also I am currently in training to become a Sangoma, a South African traditional healer, which uses a lot of dream medicine and visions as well. So I had asked my teacher for some assistance and like to do a reading about like, you know, what this relationship was. And it turns out that we are twins and like every lifetime we meet each other and we have specific work that we're supposed to do together in this lifetime. And there were some things that we needed to do to clear out the other past lives. So we go and, you know, I'm someone who has experienced some past life work in ways that have been like a little unclear and like pretty manipulative. So I was like pretty nervous to do this and I wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody involved was consenting. There was a lot of transparency. You know, we really talked it through. Did we want to do any rituals? Did we want to engage? in this past life situation. And so, you know, we spent the whole weekend talking about everything that had happened over the course of the year and a half that we had been dreaming together and, you know, taking space from each other as well. And, you know, after that weekend, I was so relaxed, like the most relaxed I had been in probably a year and a half. Like, you even saw me after that weekend. You said that I was glowing, like, and he experienced the same thing. It was like just us being in each other's presence. And like, we really, like, you know, in waking realm and in this lifetime, we really don't know each other that well. But there's something about like us just being in the same space. Like, you know, we start remembering these things of like, how we've lived in other lifetimes before. Like at one point I was in the kitchen and I laughed and he said that for just a second, the view of me changed and I was a teenager in like a different body. And he was like, oh, that was you before. And all of this is like, I use the word fantastical again, because like, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin and I grew up, you know, in a very Pentecostal Christian situation. And so this is not something that I was immersed in growing up. It's not something that I really even engaged with. And I probably would go as far as to say that like, I didn't even believe in any of this. But as I like come into, you know, as I come into a space of like reclaiming my ancestral medicine and reclaiming this gift of dream work, there's just so much that opens up for me. And, you know, it becomes that my life is like this work of art, this constantly changing work of art. So I am super excited to, you know, share these techniques with other people. We just had our first cohort of the Equinox Dreaming Awake course, the 12-week course where people are really, like, I'm breaking that it down into steps for people to be able to really access and learn about their own ancestral dream medicine. So the previous cohort ended up doing a lot of inner child work. Some people were having some PTSD nightmares at the beginning, and their dream, the whole landscape of their dream, like, calmed down considerably. Other folks were able to manifest money. Other folks were working through like very, very extreme like grief. So people were coming to the class with different ways that they were interacting with their mental wellness and were able to really access remedies and protocols and like you were talking about, the reason for these ailments in their childhood, the reason for their ailments, like the things that they were stressed about in their present, the things that they were worried about for the future, the things that they were grieving about, all types of things like that, and able to really like track and understand what was going on with them while also seeing like what's going on with the moon. Are we in a new moon? Are we in a full moon? What astrological sign is the moon in? How is that affecting me? And using these really beautiful short films that I made that also have all of these different medicine songs that I have collected through my travels and through my different initiations and different teachings. So that is super exciting for me.
The next
version of that class starts the next Equinox, so March 19th is the next class. That's so exciting.
Wow. So, folks, if you're listening in, March 19th is the start date of 12 weeks, right? 12 weeks to get to work with you and go through the videos. And I was blessed, actually, to have Terrell, like, with me for 2 weeks. What was it, last year? Yeah, last year coming into this year. It was like a weird time. But, we just realized, like, wow, we're both, like, doing this, like, creative thing more, and we're kind of taking steps more into our power. And I'm always, like, amazed by how much you're doing, Terrell. Like, it's really cool. And, you know, the work is powerful. Like, I got to work with Terrell on the Dreaming Awake is kind of like a workshop at Studio 34 in West Philly. And just like people that came to that workshop are still coming to my events now, you know. That's how you know like you've made an effect on people when like they're still coming back, you know. I still see Ha. Remember Ha?
Yeah, I
gave them a tarot deck. I gave them a tarot deck. Yes, I did. And they, I hope that they're doing good work with it. But yeah, it's just really cool to be working with someone like you where we're helping people realize their power again. Instead of just taking from people, like we're giving, and eventually, like, hopefully they can do this on their own and go help the world. And that's really what I think, you know, light work is about, you know, like there is a capitalism aspect to it, but it's not like, I want you to keep coming back to me, capitalism. It's like, I need to survive so I can keep sharing this art with other people. And then hopefully one day you can grow and kind of do this on your own or do things on your own or, you know, find a connection to your own spirit. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even necessarily say there's a capitalism aspect to it. I would say that there's an exchange. And there's always been exchange for this type of work. Like, you know, before everything was about capitalism, in order to learn from a traditional healer, you likely were, you know, you were an apprentice and you were living with them and you pretty much had to do like whatever they said. You know, if they needed help with washing their clothes or they needed help with harvesting a bunch of plants, like you were there all day, like living with this person. And also, you know, the village would make sure that the traditional healer was taken care of because the traditional healer is taking care of the whole village. So in a lot of cultures, the person who was doing the healing practices was the wealthiest person in the village. So I wouldn't even say that it's like a capitalism thing to charge, but, you know, we're not being taken care of. So, and there's always been exchange involved.
I like that. Yeah, I guess sometimes it's just like, ah! But it is definitely an exchange, and I think that's a good way to look at it. I hope that people like will sign up, you know, just from listening to this, and just like check out your website. What is your website again, just for folks to go check it out if they have some time?
Yeah, so my website is www.causerein.com, causerein.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. So I wanted to dive in just on some other things. So what's going on with this training, was it Sangoma?
Yes.
So how does that work? Are you traveling anywhere this year or anything for that? Or is it kind of like a at-home based practice if you'd like to share that information?
Yeah, so a lot of it is secret while you are in the process of it. So if I'm pausing a lot, I'm just trying to make sure I am abiding by those rules as I speak.
Yeah, I had a feeling. It sounds very, like, sacred, so I'm like, maybe this isn't something that like you can say everything about, but feel free to share whatever you can.
Yeah, but so a Sangoma is a South African traditional healer. It is knowledge and medicine that has been preserved by the Nguni people, the Zulu in particular, and Nguni people are said to be the ancestors of all African people. So it's a very, very old tradition. and so I feel super blessed, super honored to be called to, you know, learn these practices, learn this work. And, you know, as I have been reading more about it online and also working with my teacher and learning the stories and the teachings, it has been really beautiful for me to realize that, you know, I've been on this path to become a Sangoma for a long time. You know, the dream work is a huge part of it. And also, you know, when I arrived in this realm, like, you know, that was part of my path. And so there are a lot of things that come really intuitive to me about these practices because they have been things that I have done Metajuice is the word downloading. There have been things that I have been downloading from spirit, from experiences, that really have prepared me to do this deep and intensive study. So one of the things I will share about the initiation process is it has been the really one of the most healing and like revelatory experiences that I've had thus far, and really, really like learning about myself and learning about the ways that I am, and also really, you know, confronting head on behaviors that don't serve me and that don't serve me having like sustaining, like fruitful relationships with other people. So it's a very, very like introspective process, and also like doing a lot of like clearing and reorganizing, and like, you know, that doesn't help me, that's gotta go. And things like that. So it's really, it's great. My teacher is in South Africa right now. So we started a little bit ago, and at the end, so when I am doing my graduation, and the last 2 weeks of my study will be in South Africa with her in person. So it's been beautiful, beautiful, beautiful getting to know my teacher. And I really recommend for all spiritual practitioners to really find an elder, and find an elder who is kind, who makes you laugh, who talks to you with love and respect. And to also realize that it might take some time. Like it could even take a few years for you to find an elder like that. But, you know, we were never meant to do this stuff on our own. Healing is not supposed to happen on our own. You know, we're supposed to be doing this type of work in community, in a village. And so, like, please, 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 like, find an elder so that you can be on a path of, like, doing this work, you know, at the highest potential, your highest potential, that, you know, you are really finding someone to support you, like clearing out your shadows, clearing out the entities that are attached to you, because we all have entities that end up attached to us at some point. We all have, you know, shadows. We all have things within us that, you know, as we move through this life as a human being in this three-dimensional form, we have, like, shortcomings. We have things that we need to heal. Yeah, so I'm super excited. It'll be my first time going to the continent of Africa. So, you know, it's really been this coming into, like, what does it mean for me to be an Indigenous African? What does it mean for me to be shedding some of, you know, the cultural beliefs that I've absorbed from growing up as a Black American? What does it mean for me to be connecting to my Native American heritage? What does it mean to me to understand my purpose? What does it mean to understand my calling? What does it mean to allow myself to be, you know, as big as I came here to be? So it's really great, and I'm super excited too, because you know, I'm making all of these plans for the spring. So as soon as I get back from South Africa, I'll be teaching in New Orleans at the NOLA Herb Gathering. And then about a month after that, I will be holding a retreat in New Mexico called Time Capsule. And it's an Afro-Indigenous dreaming retreat. So I'm super excited about all the things that are going to unfold after I finish, you know, this deep, deep work at the beginning of 2020, and I like have so many plans for the rest of 2020.
I am so excited for you and all that you're doing. 2020 is a big year. I felt it, honestly, January was so long, but it was good. It was very, like, it was a good month to prep for it. The whole rest of the year. I'm really hoping that I can make it out to that retreat in New Mexico, because it looks amazing. It's beautiful space, and, you know, it's hard to find a retreat that, you know, is centered for people like us, for queer and trans people of color, you know, and I'm excited just for you even being like, I think you doing that is kind of like, maybe it's just like a very small percentage of us that are doing things like that. And just like one more person doing it just helps to like bump up that percentage. So there's more opportunity for all of us to, you know, dive into that experience, you know, because it's just, it seems like we live in a world where a lot of us can't afford, you know, healing and these retreats, and they're usually out of the country and like other places where people can't afford to travel. But this is like in the United States still, so you don't need a passport to go there. And there's still like a payment plan option. And I think you keep doing the payment plan, right? Like people can sign up later for the payment plan.
Yeah, you can. The payment plan is ongoing, and I'm pretty sure that I'll always do payment plans. And I've been really like thinking about pricing to make sure that I'm also always able to offer one or two with trade stops, where it's like just a deposit, and then, you know, we figure out the rest through bartering. So yeah, I'm very happy to. I'm very happy to. You know, I'm not happy that I've been homeless, but you know, I'm happy for the political views that have come with experiencing homelessness in the United States. And I really want to make sure that I'm always integrating accessibility into my business and into my practices, while also, you know, remaining solvent and remaining sustainable as well.
Yeah, I've definitely dealt with a balance, or I'm still figuring it out. I think we all are. Like, I heard someone say, like, we're all just like running around with our heads cut off, you know, like we're figuring it out, and not like in like a crazy way, but like, yeah, we're all kind of like chickens with our heads cut off. Like, we don't really know what we're doing. But I like the part where you said like healing takes community, you know, it takes a whole bunch of people coming together. And that's what I love about your retreat, because that's like a step of building that community. So yeah, but it is definitely hard to balance, you know, like accessibility and also sustainability. But I think that over time, I don't know, I feel like over time there's going to be a lot more people of color with financial freedom, especially in the queer community. Just because I can feel a shift happening, you know, and I think that once more of us have power and once more of us have a say in how, you know, we live our lives and how we get jobs and et cetera, I think that that's when the doors kind of open more. And it's unfortunate that, you know, a lot of the people with power now are, you know, cis white men. But I'm dreaming of a future where that changes, you know, and you see people, you know, of color, you see people that are queer, you see people that are trans in these powerful positions, because they're going to bring in more of us. And then, you know, eventually we'll have more power and more ability to, you know, change and shape the world in the way that it needs to be changed and shaped. Because I read a lot about two-spirited energies and, you know, and things like that, and how people that were, in essence, what we call trans now, you know, they used to be, like, worshipped and loved and treated with, like, the highest respect in villages and things, and now it's, like, changed, you know, and now it's, like, oh, you must choose this or choose that. So I love the work that you're doing, because you're building a bridge, you know, to change.
Yeah, and I will say that, you know, not everybody's role is a job, you know. when I was, you know, trying to get jobs and, you know, in a mindset that was very fearful, you know, I ended up homeless, and, you know, and I really needed that break to do nothing, to not work a job, to just focus on my art. You know, I did go back to a job this past fall, and, you know, I got sick again, you know, from working a job for 3 months. And so it's very clear to me that a job is never going to be enough for me. I'm always going to be putting in more energy into the job than what I am receiving. And so for me, like, my path is very much about, like, nope, the power comes from you. It doesn't have really anything to do with anybody else. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter who's in such and such office. Like, for you, you need to be on your path and doing the work that you're supposed to be doing, and then the money's going to come. And, you know, now I live in a very, very nice apartment, one of the, like, gentrifier apartments. I live on the fourth floor of this place that has a huge gym at the bottom and all these house hot tubs and things like that. And, you know, and I am being taken care of. Being taken care of very, very well. And I don't have a job. You know, I work for myself full time.
Yeah, I like that idea. But, like, I guess to me, what you're doing is work. So I always will view it as, like, a spiritual, like, I guess the word job has a negative connotation to it, but I guess I kind of mean more so, like, you're doing the work, you know, and that is, in essence, we all have, like, work that we're here to do, but mm-hmm. it's not, like, for, like, I guess, like, it's not for, you know, this one person, this one white person, or this one person that owns this business, like, the work that you're doing is for you, but also for the world, you know, collectively. And yeah. I think, so I personally wouldn't say you don't have a job, because you're doing it, you know, like, you even being on this podcast is, like, part of that job, I guess, in my view. And yeah, I could definitely relate to just having to be somewhere and having, like, a job where, like, you don't have, or having, I guess, a what's the word I would say? Having a forced job. I think that's the thing, you know, when you're forced to kind of, or you feel like you're forced to do something, because we're not really forced to do anything. And you feel like you have to go there because you have to get that paycheck and you have to pay those bills. I think that's kind of what causes a lot of us to get, like, sick, and whether it's mental or physical. But, like, when you have freedom and the ability to, like, you know what, I'm not feeling good today. I'm not going to be able to, like, work on this thing, or, oh, I can't do this, but I can do that tomorrow. Like, a lot of us, I think a lot of us creatives too really need that flexibility, you know. And when we're like forced, like, oh, it's on my schedule, I gotta go do this thing for 8 hours, it's a lot of your energy. Like, you don't have any energy to do anything else after. So yeah, I'm really happy that you are being taken care of, and I can say the same for me. I think that I need to kind of detach away from a few of, like, the things that are set in my schedule that kind of caused me grief, like, or not grief, but just caused me, like, I'm just like, oh, man, I don't really feel like doing that. So then, like, another thing pops in my head, like, why are you doing it then? sometimes we ignore those questions, but I think, like, when those questions happen, I think that's, like, what you say, like, when you talk to, like, energies and spirits, I think that's also, like, a connection of speaking to that, but sometimes we block it out. We're like, no. So I wanted to just kind of retouch back on the thing that you're, or the workshop, the retreat that you're doing in New Mexico. So can folks find out more information about that on your website?
Yeah, it is on my website under the tab that is Learn. And the retreat, again, it's called Time Capsule. So first you'll see the information about the online course. And then if you want to come do an immersive in-person experience, then Time Capsule is right below.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to thank you again so much for just sharing your love and energy again with the podcast. Yeah, I do twice, and I'm so happy. And I'm so excited for all the work that you're going to do this year. And, you know, I'm happy that we got to touch in on, like, some of the reasons why we're feeling, like, suicidal or depressed, you know, and a lot of times it is because of the spaces that we're in, and we need to do a cleanse. And I guess one of my last questions or last things that I wanted folks to hear about from you are, like, what are some quick tips that they can do to kind of cleanse a space if they're, like, living in a space, or if they work at a space and it might have, like, them feeling negatively? Is there any, like, crystals that you recommend them wearing, or are there any herbs that you recommend that they carry with them, or any little tidbits of info that folks can take along with them before you go?
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely cleaning your space, like clean your room, clean where you sleep. Taking regular showers. If you can, it can be super helpful to take a cold shower to wash things off of you. You can also use certain herbs, like you can do a bowl of cold salt water, and after you take a hygienic shower, dump a bowl of cold salt water over your head. It's not the most pleasant, but it does work. It does like wonders for anxiety and different depression symptoms. You can good plants to carry around, lavender. Lemon balm is very uplifting. I personally like to use a camphor oil and a sweet basil oil, so that's something you can carry around with you. I personally do not like to use crystals because of the ways that crystals are taken from all over the world, and they're not necessarily harvested in ways that are sacred and ways that are safe. So sometimes crystals can be carrying additional energies that are not necessarily supportive to you. But you can also, you can close them, you can cleanse them, you can put your own energy into the crystals as well. But I personally don't recommend crystals unless you are going out to get them yourself from directly from the land.
I like that. Yeah, I've definitely found some like smoky quartz when I lived up in New England. I found some petrified wood up there. I weirdly found some selenite in Philadelphia. I don't know if someone just dropped it on the floor. And I found it in this yard. I was just like walking around and I was feeling actually really down about a job that I was stuck at. And I was just doo-doo-doo. And then it was just sitting there and I was like, whoa. And I was like, whoa, this is a sign, I think. And I was like, what's happening? Like, I never find crystals like selenite, you know? Like, connecting you to angels and stuff. Talk about that. I was like, woo. But, yeah, I can definitely see how crystals can have, you know, it's almost like everyone drinking almond milk now. And, you know, things that get mainstream, we start to overuse them and take them away from the indigenous people and their original uses, like white sage even. So now, like, when I buy white sage or Palo Santo, I make sure that I'm buying it from a source where, like, you know, indigenous people are growing it and the money goes back to them, you know. And there's definitely a few brands out there that do things like that. So, folks, if you're looking for, you know, a better way to utilize these things because they do help you in a way, and this is part of your practice, just know that there are sustainable ways to find them. You just gotta do a little bit of the research and the work. But yeah, Terrell, thank you so much again for just sharing your love and energy on the podcast. And I'm excited to, I'm probably gonna bring you on again to see what happens after the training. So yeah, I'm just wishing you all the luck and all the love.
Thank you.
Yeah. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll see you again soon. Make sure you clean those spaces. Clean your room.